Welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion class here at Wings Christian Fellowship, and we need someone to lead us in the word of prayer, Michelle.
Our Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your love.
Yes,
I thank you that you want teach us, and you want us to follow your step.
Yes.
And I pray that that you make that happen, as you are mighty God. As you can do everything in our life, I pray that everything that will be taught here, that you will put them in our heart so that we can follow you for the rest of our life.
Yes.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. So we're in 2 Thessalonians, and I don't know if we have started chapter 3. Does that sound good to everybody?
We actually finished it last week.
We did finish two?
Two.
All right.
Yeah.
Was it two?
Two.
Okay.
Seven.
Was it two?
Yeah.
Was it
seven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go ahead and read out of the Amplified, the Classic Amplified. Mm-hmm. Our two readers.
She's calling. I'm sorry. He was discussing this friend that we had special prayer for.
Go ahead.
A friend. Her niece husband, so certain husband, is in University of Cincinnati Hospital for transplant.
They
called adding to come this morning at 7:30. And
what kind of transplant?
Kidney and pancreas.
All right.
And so I told her if she wanted to call, because she wanted to special prayer, I said,
oh,
call.
Okay.
Put you on speaker at Sunday school starts at 10 going, and we'll pray with you, and you stand instead for them.
And he will be probably in the operating room.
Yeah, because they had them come there at 7:30 this morning. So she'll update us. Okay. I said, just feel free to call. We'll
thank you.
Be great. Great class, and we'll pray, you know, with you. And
the power.
Yes.
You know, that dunamis power that God gives us is so great.
Yes.
He can, you know, when you just least expect it, when you least expect it, the power of God fills in all the little, the missing parts of us with himself. I love that about our mother. So let's start with 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, out of the Classic Amplified. And one of our readers here, of the team of Buddy and Brenda, will read.
Furthermore, brethren, do pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed on, spread rapidly, and run its course, and be glorified, extolled, and triumphed, even as it has done with you. And that we may be delivered from perverse, improper, unrighteous, and wicked, actively malicious men. For not everybody has faith and is held by it. Yet the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and set you on a firm foundation. Praise the Lord. And guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do the things which we suggest and with which we charge you. And may the Lord direct your hearts into realizing and showing the love of God and into the steadfastness and patience of Christ and in waiting for his return. Now
okay.
we want to stop here.
Well, is that five?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you finish five?
Yes.
That's a stopping place in the
right, good.
Because it goes on and says, the next is a warning about laziness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to even hear about that. Oh, well.
But we need to know.
Yes, we do.
All things.
Okay. Well, you know what? I was complaining before we started because in the King James Version, I started to kind of read over chapter 3, and everything was, we've commanded you this and we've commanded you that. And I thought, well, there's an awful lot of commanding going on here. But I loved the way it sounded in the version that we've suggested, we know
how to break it down.
Yes, we know that the Lord will enable you to complete the suggestions.
Yes.
That we need, which is an entirely different thought process than someone lording it over you and commanding you to do this, that. Because I know that my carnal mind accepts loving suggestions much easier than it accepts.
You will do this.
You know? So anyway, I like that a lot.
Yes. Anyone else wanna?
Go ahead.
All right, you're going. Now we charge you, brethren, in the name and on the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that you withdraw and keep away from every brother, fellow believer who is slack in the performance of duty and is disorderly, living as a shirker and not walking in accord with the traditions and instructions that you have received from us. For you yourselves know how it is necessary to imitate our example. For we were not disorderly or shirking of duty when we were with you, and we were not idle. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and struggle, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden or impose on any of you for our support. And it was not because we do not have a right to such support, but we wished to make ourselves an example for you to follow. For while we were yet with you, we gave you this rule and charge that if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Indeed, we hear that some among you are disorderly, that they are passing their lives in idleness, neglectful of duty, being busy with people's affairs instead of their own, and doing no work. Now we charge and exhort such persons as ministers in Him, exhorting those in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that they work in quietness and earn their own food and other necessities. And as for you, brethren, do not become weary or lose heart in doing right, but continue in well-doing without weakening. I think that's good. Regardless of what they're doing, he's wanting them to be responsible for what they've been taught of them and to show forth. But if anyone in the church refuses to obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and do not associate with him so that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but simply admonish and warn him as being still a brother. Now
that kind of softens it.
It does, because don't regard him, he's not one to look at them and if you look at him as enemy, then you're condemning.
You can still restore
and his actions, but he's wanting to regard him, but simply admonish and warn him as being still a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself grant you his peace, the peace of his kingdom at all times and in all ways, under all circumstances and conditions, whatever comes. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write you this final greeting with my own hand, and this is the mark and sign that is not a forgery, for in every letter of mine, it is the way I write my handwriting and signature. Now the grace, spiritual blessings, and favor of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with you all. Amen. So be it.
Okay.
I think it's good that he is teaching us to be responsible for what we have been taught. But those that are not, you're not going to be a part of them, but yet you're going to admonish and you're going to love them and you're going to encourage them, really, that they be ashamed, that they want to change and want to be doing what Paul has admonished them to do. I think that's good.
You know, that's quite a tight rope to walk with your brothers and your sisters, because it says in there a brother.
Mm-hmm.
Or a member of the congregation. If they are slackers.
Sure, sir.
Yeah.
Idle.
Yes.
Yeah. And busybodies. Some of them busy, but they're really gossiping.
Other people's business.
They're really,
yeah.
Not portraying what has been, they've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
Nor will people around see the Christ in them.
Well, it does say, do not, I got to put it in my own words because I can't, don't hang around with them, you know, because if you do, that attitude, their attitude might rub off on you rather than your attitude rubbing off on their.
Birds
on
of
them.
A feather. But they'll look at you and think, well, you're just like
you
them.
Think you're better than everybody.
So, or like you're just like them.
Yes, yes. And I feel like one of the most difficult things in the body of Christ, the imperfect, immature body of Christ as it is today, we haven't yet come, is to not judge or think of, as it says in what you read, as an enemy, a brother who you disagree with. There's something in us that wants to think of them not as a brother, but as an enemy. And that does make us just like them. That, you know, you get off into a little crowd of your own very best friends, and you, well, did you see what they did? You know, and then as soon as you do that, you're doing exactly what they do. And there has to be a difference.
Mm-hmm.
If God is leading us, that God, even, you know, God has more grace. God has more mercy. You know, one of the things that God has been showing me lately is his mercy makes us look like terrible. God has mercy, second, third, and fourth chances, loving reconciliation for the most depraved. You know what I mean? Who could be depraved in their bodies and in their souls, but God sees the spirit, and God will bring them back to him if they are willing. And golly, are we? You know, do we show the same mercy as God? No.
Mm-hmm.
But should we? Yes. And will we someday? Yes. Yeah. Somebody else talk.
Well, I would like to talk about verse 1 and verse 2. When it says, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have a free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But mostly, I would like to talk about verse 1 because sometimes so kind of like feel like everything is well everywhere as we might maybe feel safe or, you know, as a Christian, we might feel comfortable and forget the rest of the unbeliever word, the people who haven't heard the gospel, mm-hmm. the people who are preaching the gospel to those who have never heard, or those who maybe give up and looking forward to believe again. So, but we usually don't pray for the people who are in ministry, who are preaching the word of God, and who are proclaiming the gospel to those who never heard the gospel, or to those who have forgotten. And so it's something that we actually should be doing almost every time we pray. We have enough time to pray. We should remember those who haven't heard the gospel, those who haven't believed, and those who are in the middle of preaching, letting Jesus be known. We should be remembering them in our prayer and pray for them, so that the Lord will give them more strength and more courage to keep on doing that, and that the souls of those who have received the word of God, they may be strengthened and they may be given knowledge and faith, so that they might be as strong as we are, because it's not an easy road when you first believed to become a mature person. It's a tough road for many people, and it always depends on your entourage or environment. If you live with stronger Christians, you might find the courage maybe easily. But if you live in a place where there are not a whole lot of believers, it might be very difficult for you to keep on going when you see everybody else is just kind of like going about the routine, and you want to please the Lord in everything in your life. It gets tough for those who just started. So what I wanted just to mention is we should have on our heart to pray for those who are in ministry, and those who are believing, those who are accepting, receiving the Lord, that they may be strengthened and they may be strong in the Lord.
That's
true. Yes. It's kind of like getting married. The first glow of that happy union, and you are in love, and you feel like you've arrived when you first get saved, you know. Oh, I had no idea that I could be part of, you know, this journey, but they don't realize that journey is the biggest part of it, and it's all ahead of you. There is a processing of the Lord to become, because we're always becoming, and becoming is not easy. It's always easier to fall back and just say, oh, I'm good enough. But, you know, if we strive to go on to know Him, to know even as we are known. That's one of the things that puzzles me. I want to know God even as He knows me. And I know that I don't. and I know that I probably never will. He is so much greater. He is, you know, but I'm not content with what I know of him now. I want to be so fully involved in who he is, and yet, yet there's all these things around me that drag me away from that, you know, one perfect lifestyle that I want to live. Other things pull me away from it all the time. And yet, I believe it is the true desire of my heart. So why can't I achieve it?
I think it is important to these that are just coming to Christ, like, to really be mentored, discipled, to pray with. When I got saved, I tell you, Betty was, she was saved way before, and young, you know, also I was 24. But God had been dealing with me for 12 years, you know, I mean, really dealing, you know, with me. And she, from her experiences, things that she had gone through, how she was a mother in Christ to me, helper, prayed, and we would pray for others as new ones, you know, come.
Right.
And we have a responsibility to help those that are just coming and lack understanding, and but they have a hunger for the Lord, because God has created, and I just didn't come. God drew me over a period of time. Mm-hmm. Spoke to me, and like Brother Oscar had said, how he didn't care about living, you know, any longer at the place he was in. Not that he wanted to commit suicide or anything, but that he was at the end of himself, and that's the way I was. And I can't even tell you a date as God began to deal with my heart. But I had these elder women
praying for you,
and those praying. And then when I was a teenager, they were praying for me. They saw me in a group on the street down there where all we gather and everything. And Betty and Catherine, she has passed. Betty has passed. So is the other lady. And they said, they looked and said, she's a leader. Talk about me, you know. within this group, God was showing them that at that time I was doing my thing. I wasn't thinking about God. I was doing, but God, I went to California and then moved back here and back to California. I tell you, God knows how to draw you and to speak to you and to bring you. And he wants us to be that same way with these babes that are coming in, that we encourage them, we pray for them. And then like he was saying, those that are ministry, that we need to lift them. Like Brother Oscar, any of the brethren that are in service, that they have needs.
Yes.
They're being processed. They're on maybe not the same plane, but they're still going through experiences. That we need to certainly pray for them.
And so very, they can be tormented, you know, with things like depression and with things like wondering, has anything that I've done changed anything?
Yeah.
People that are in true ministry to God, sometimes, it's not the people who are seeing the giant churches and the great successes. It's the men and the women who have given their lives.
Yes.
You know, and have a small, you know, they wonder when they see all the other. You can't help but wonder, Lord, have I missed the mark? Have I, you know? And sometimes you just want to be comforted and lifted up. And I, you know,
in the midst of,
we need to do that for our pastor.
Yes.
And for his wife.
Yes.
Well, when Sean, when you were saying something about getting comfortable at the beginning, I think I think most Christians become complacent. When things are going well, you just kind of don't think of anything. You
right,
know, you think,
right.
Well, everything's going right down the road.
That's right.
I don't need to, you know, I'll skip my prayer time today and I'll just, it'll be fine, don't worry about it. You know, stuff like that. And you're right, I think if you go to verse 8, I love what it says here. It says, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we work night and day, laboring and toiling so that we may have the right to such help. You know, that's when you, for the ministry, they're always doing something. And you're right, those are the people who need to be lifted up because they are, you know, they're doing things that we wouldn't even think of about doing most of the time, to be honest with you.
There are those among us who are out doing things all the time.
Yeah.
I have one of those people.
Yeah, there are. Yeah.
And would never dream of telling anyone what they do. You know what
and,
I mean?
But, you know, it's, you go through I hate to say it's like a roller coaster, but it is almost like a roller coaster. When you're going through, you learn, you know, dealing and learning your faith, you have real high highs and sometimes you have real lows.
Mm-hmm.
And I know lots of people who have walked away from their faith. And they'll just, that's just the way they are. They're not, they may come back, you know, and they may not come back. You know, but that doesn't mean we don't need to keep them in prayer.
That's right.
You know, how many times have we said, well, we know see somebody who's in trouble and they say, well, we know he's had an encounter with the Lord. We know he knows the Lord, but they're still having an encounter that they're in trouble, and yet they're not relying on the Lord. They're relying on their own senses. You know. Those are the people we need to keep lifting up in prayer.
Yeah.
Right. That they come back to where they were.
See one of those people.
You know who, Oscar isn't here today, but a prime example of that is his brother Wiley. Oscar has said it many times, his brother Wiley had many encounters with the Lord when he was young. But he, let me tell you, I know Wiley, I knew Wiley. Wiley led a pretty wild life.
That's okay.
But at the end, he knew, you know, he knew what he had to do. He knew he had to get back to the Lord.
Yeah, just imagine Paul. When we talk about Paul, we just kind of like talk almost. He's almost to us a Christian like. A super person or hero or something. But
super Paul.
Right. But he would tell people, pray for us, pray for me, because
yes.
As strong as he was, he needed people's prayers. That's why we cannot like look at a person and think that they are strong in faith, that they don't need prayers. Everybody, every human, as strong as they might look or might be, they still need people's prayers.
Yeah.
Well, you know, how many times have we heard someone come up to me who we know is not a believer and going through something and say, will you pray for me? Say some prayers for me. You know, and it happens every day, you know. And when you were talking about Paul, let's look at Paul. Yeah, he was a hero, maybe he was, but think about how Paul, when he was out going to all these churches and all these countries and talking to them, how many people actually listened to him and how many people didn't listen to him? You know, what do you think his mindset was when he's talking to hundreds of people and 50 of them were going, oh, yeah, sure, or, you know. And it goes back to me, to an experience that I had years ago when Brother Oscar asked me to speak at the mission downtown. And we always did an altar call, and I did what I did, scared to death. You know, it was the first time I ever did anything like that in my life. But I did it, and we had an altar call, and nobody came up. And I'm walking out, and I'm thinking, what did I do wrong? You know? But as I'm walking out of the room, a guy comes up and taps me on the shoulder and says, you know, I knew as soon as you were talking to me.
Oh, okay.
That was a profound moment for me.
Beautiful.
Because that made me realize that if it just touched one person,
yes,
it didn't matter about the other people.
That's
at that
right.
point.
Exactly.
It touched one person you need to touch.
Exactly.
Jesus.
I would also like to talk about verse 7. Paul said that, you know, that you're supposed to follow us. 7, yeah. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us.
Yeah.
Nowadays, sometimes people will want other people to follow them when they're not even a good example. As a Christian, we're supposed to try to imitate the best that we see. Those who do well are the ones that we're supposed like to be following after. Paul said that, you know that I do well, I follow the Lord. And they also were able to see how good he was doing. But nowadays we have so many people who will want followers, but the fruits are not there. The good work, they're not there. Thank you.
Yes. You know, that reminds me of something in my own life.
Yeah.
I had been a Christian for 15, 20 years. And in, quote, the churches, it got to be a very common thing for, I hate to even bring this up and talk about it, that, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about church. You know, even Jesus turned the water into wine. And some people get very cocky and started following a way of life that was not having communion or but having a glass, you know, of alcohol or whatever. Now, I want to tell you, for some people, that's perfectly fine. But early on, I learned that for me, that was not fine. It didn't work out. It wasn't for me. But I got hard-hearted about it. That it doesn't, you know, nobody can tell me, blah, 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 blah. And I got into quite a bit of trouble with my drinking practices, because I was not drinking like a normal Christian person would drink, you know, with a dinner, and that would be it, and go home and continue your life. And so your attitude, even Paul says, I mean, think of Paul and the thorn he had in his flesh. And he begged God, you know, he begged Jesus, well, you know, take this away from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. But there's a humbling that comes with having a thorn in your flesh. And until you are humbled, you know, it's going to hinder you. And so, no matter what the reason, no matter what the cause, God prepares for you the walk that you need to come to Him humbled, but not humiliated. Humbled. And I can remember, you know, there are times in my life recently where I can sit in my yard and feel the love and the comfort of God and the serenity of living a life for God, wanting for nothing at all. And then, 3 or 4 or 5 days later, I can remember feeling this, a dis-ease, a discord in my life. And I go to God, God, why am I feeling this? Why am I not content? Well, I'm bringing you on. I want you to come on a little further. You're not content where you were. I want you to leave that place of contentment and come on. Come on up the mountain a little higher, you know? And it's not a place of easiness, even though what we are searching for in our life is that contentment. Boy, I loved that feeling. I loved that way of life where I felt not so much that I had arrived, but I was content with where I was. So God wants us to come on, put those things behind us, put away the childish things and go on to know Him, you know, to know Him.
To full maturity.
Yes, yeah. It'll be that way until we all come to the unity of the faith. In the meantime, we keep the unity of the Spirit. But I think that's the way Paul felt when he went to God with that thorn in his flesh. My grace is sufficient for you. Come on up, you know. Forget those things that are behind.
There is a practice. I think it's probably maybe started with the Catholics, but I think it kind of like grow in all churches, where they think that if he, let's say somebody does something wrong, and they put them on the side, people will think that that person who the Bible says that if somebody is not walking right, you can have him outside the group, but not as somebody who has become unbeliever, but somebody who is put in place to learn something so that he can come back. People will think that if somebody has done something and he's put aside to learn, they think that that person has been given to the devil. And they actually, that's not a practice anymore in the churches. It used to be back in the day, but the people think that, okay, if somebody commit a sin, and the sin is known among everybody, and it's a bad thing, that in old days, the person would be put away for for a time of maybe think again, as a Christian, you should not practice that, but take some time. We pray for you that you be strengthened, and so that you can come back in your brothers with the strength and with the knowledge. But nowadays it is considered like when somebody have been let's say put aside of the group, it's considered as you no more a Christian anymore. So you remember what the Bible said on the verse that you have to consider such person as a brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but nowadays they actually people consider as you are not a believer anymore. But he says, I don't remember which verse.
15 was saying, do not regard him as an enemy.
Right? Exactly.
But he says, but if anyone in the church mm-hmm. refuses to obey what we say mm-hmm. in this letter, take note of that person and do not associate with him.
Right.
So that he may be ashamed. It's like bringing him to repentance.
Exactly.
Bringing him.
Yes.
To look at what he's doing.
What have I done? Well, why did I do all these
mm-hmm.
things?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was the purpose.
A
but
backslider.
I don't think they're a backslider.
Yeah.
I think
it's like
they're they're not obeying and doing what they should do.
Right.
And anyway, the word says that God never leaves us or forsakes us.
Right.
So we accept
right.
Him.
It's just a time to reflect. What
yes.
have I done?
Yes. I love the way you said that.
Yeah.
Yes. Where they would say to themselves, well, why did I do what
why did I do what?
Because that
yeah.
question right there
yeah.
is a good a starting place to repent.
Right.
Why did I do that?
Right.
And if you can find out why you did it, you can correct
yeah. exactly.
yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But nowadays, I don't know why this kind of thinking came in software in believers that when somebody's put aside, that he has lost their faith or he's not or she's not a Christian anymore. That's why they're not practicing that anymore, because people, they rejected me. But that was not the purpose of having the person on the side to reflect what they did.
Yeah. Well,
I wonder if somebody has any insight on how you would approach a person like that. How would you, if you saw a brother, how would you approach him?
Well, the very first thing, before you put somebody aside, you should have advised the person, talked to the person, maybe a couple of times, maybe, you know, show them that you have them on your heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So now if they persist in doing that, you can be like, okay, what about if we give you some time to reflect, to think about all these things, because we advised you a few times, you did not change. What about if you take some time? We give you some time.
And do you feel like when you went the first time, you went alone, brother to brother? Because then later you said, after a couple of times, would you take?
Oh.
Well, we should never approach somebody with a spirit of condemnation.
No.
Oh, no. It's always.
I mean, that's what allows people to walk away from their faith. You know, if you go up and say, hey, I see you're doing this, why are you doing that, and start condemning them for
right.
it, what's the first thing they're doing? Especially if you say, well, you know, God says you shouldn't do that. I can tell you, for me, it would be, why do I want to mess with this anymore? Deck with it. I don't need that. Matter of fact, I did that when I was young. When I was raised Catholic, I just got fed up one day and I said, I'm done. And she knows I didn't go to church for years because I was fed up. Because it was the same old thing. I was sitting in a Catholic mass, and the priest was preaching about something, and I felt it as a direct condemnation to me.
Oh.
and I just walked out and never looked back. You know, and you've heard me say it. You guys have heard me say it before. I knew of God, but I never knew God. That's and I never knew. If I had known God the way I know God today, I would have never walked out of the building.
What happened?
But I didn't.
What happened to change that? How did God approach you differently than the church? I mean, what made you change your mind about God as opposed to
coming here? To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be honest with you.
And being accepted.
I think that is true. Yeah.
There's no question about it.
When we got married,
when we were dating, they used to have big picnics on Friday night.
Oh.
Now this is my mindset, John. Now you guys can you're gonna laugh. Mm-hmm. She took me to this picnic, and we left, and she said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Those are the craziest people in the world. You will never get me near them ever again."
Because we get in a circle and pastor's wife, many, many people would lay hands on you and pray. And you said, "There's people lay hands on me."
I thought they were insane.
Yeah.
You'll never get me to go there. You'll never get me to go there. And then
God did.
That's right. Well, so your answer to your question is coming here.
Well, I think the practice of approaching somebody should never, like, maybe be one person. It can only be one person, I guess, when the person you have, like, something with a person. Let's say if you maybe did something wrong to me, I can come to you and say, "Oh, you hurt my feeling or my heart, and please forgive me. I didn't think that you did the right thing." Just some kind of matter, issues between you and me, I can come to you. But if you have maybe done something, okay, we hear that you just robbed the store, as a Christian, well, I think maybe few members of the church will come to you, not just one person, and talk to you and be like, this is not probably the good thing. I mean, this is not a good thing to do, obviously, and you should keep on believing the Lord and believe that God will take care of you, not just one. You reach yourself in any way you want to, whatever. That's just an example.
Joshua, do you have any thoughts on it too?
Thank you. It seems like we're now practicing the putting apart person so they can reflect on what they did. We're not practicing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In And sometimes if some people we do that, but they were doing the wrong way. He will repeat also the verse 15. Don't think that they, because they have done something wrong, don't think that they are your enemy. Verse 14, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, know that men and have no company with folk. Have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Today, sometimes if you try to, let's say, advise somebody, the person will be like, you actually not advising me, you judging me. Judgment has many parts of it. The judgment, they have to be somebody who accuses somebody in order the judgment to be a judgment. And they have to be somebody that is being accused. And they have to be a lawyer, somebody who will speak for whoever is trying to justify what they did. And they have to be a judge as well. But when somebody say you judging, when one of the part is missing, the judge is not there, the lawyer is not there, the accuser is not there, or the accused one is not there. When one of those part is missing, that means it's not a judgment. When you rebuke a person, people will take it as a judgment. But rebuking somebody who has done something wrong is acceptable as a Christian. But it all depends on how did you do that. Christian, you should have patience and kindness in doing that. It seems like a time has gone by.
That's great. I noticed in the Strong's where it says so that they will be ashamed. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting word because it can also mean to turn about, repent, and it even means to turn upon yourself. To reflect on what it was.
Yes.
So you don't want to incite them. You want them to turn around.
Yes.
And that's a fine line. That was great. Thank you.
And this thing of putting somebody away, it's only, if I remember right, it's only in two places where the person was sleeping with his dad's wife, and this place where somebody would not accept a letter from the apostles or from the church leaders. That's pretty much, if I remember right, the only place the Bible says to pull somebody away. So it seems like it has to be a very big reason for doing that. Yeah, and in Matthew as well.
Yes.
And in Matthew, when you advise somebody, and the church will advise them, and the person will not take the church stand, and then the Jesus recommended that the person should be put away for reflection.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank
yes.
you.
Okay. Who wants to close? Brenda.
Father, we so thank
yes.
you for
Jesus.
Getting together and sharing of you, for taking of you and one another, and the oneness that we feel with our brothers and sisters in this place. We look for you to be glorified in everything that
yes.
we say and do, Father, and that we obey, and that we certainly want to please you. And so, Father, in the next meeting we go to, be glorified,
yes.
O God. Be lifted
yes.
up, Lord. And we just give you the praise and glory, and thank you for your faithfulness unto us. In Jesus' name,
amen.
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 Fantastic. I want to find so much a way to get you much more involved.
Really got it.
Very good.
Very good.
Very
good. Thank you.
He's got the heart of the Lord in you.
Yes.
So that
yes.
he's amazing.
Sunshine, you okay? You doing okay?
Yeah.
You look pretty good.
What?
Said you look pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh, he just flirting with you. Watch out there.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Bet you're tired.
Oh my God.
Oh really?
Yeah. Six.
Oh. Did you get a couple hours sleep?
It's so bad to me.
Yeah.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord is right. Thank you. Have you ever heard of a butter popcorn plant?
I'm really good.
I just saw that there the other night. My sister-in-law has got a plant. And she rubs the leaves and smell it.
Those
are smell exactly. Like
that's sunshine.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah. Only Mike is you're the only one that's allowed to call for sunshine.
Yeah.
Ain't no sunshine when you're gone.
My great trouble.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Every
now
day.
What?
Now remember, you gotta pull. There you go. Ain't he the gentlest God? Day. I'm pretty good. Then I ain't for shit. For shit and giggles.
Yeah.
Do you want me to take your coffee cup?
I got it.
Pour that out. Okay. Head on out there, girl. You're all looking good here in your gray coordinated outfit. You and I like either all gray or all gray. Don't we? We like everything the same color.
Yeah. You got the cord?
Mm-hmm.
It's in my purse.
You know, I may have gotten time and time again why God am I this way?
Hey, how are you?
27
months?
Why don't you help me? He ignores me.
No, he's not ignoring me.
He is helping you. Look at you. You're up on your feet and you're out at church. When I'm your...